Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and a Druid podcast present Shenka.
Close your eyes, my blessed child. Sleep and dream of fairyland. Rest and know that you are loved. Till the morning comes again. Cares of the day, they melt away. You are cherished, come what may, in Briad's arms. In Briad's arms. Briad holds you in her arms. So rest your weary head. She will keep you safe from harm. As you snuggle warm in bed. The cares of the day, they melt away. You are cherished, come what may, in Briad's arms. In Briad's arms. Close your eyes, my blessed child. Sleep and dream of fairyland. Rest and know that you are loved. Till the morning comes again. The cares of the day, they melt away. You are cherished, come what may, in Briad's arms. In Briad's arms. Briad's arms. In Briad's arms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around the coffee table and talk about being witches in the new century, because we just had a conversation at work today about something that happened in the last century, and that was fun. I started being a witch in the last century.
Yeah, me too.
And this time we're having some beautiful cherry basil mead from Tanner Brewery in Chester, Nova Scotia. I am Margo.
And I am Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So today's episode is a listener suggestion, and we're talking about if we had the opportunity to talk to our younger selves as they were just getting into paganism, what advice would we give to them, being that we're old and frail and decrepit at this point? What would we tell them as a young pagan to look for, to investigate, to research, to consider, blah, 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 blah?
I don't know if it would be advice as much as it would be encouragement to say you were going to find your people.
Mm. Yeah, that's a big one.
Because I have, you know, spent a lot of time, especially going through periods of disability as well, and being very isolated from people my own age, that learning how to socialize was a little bit difficult for me, I think, in a way. Finding my people, and how we're all a little kooky in our own ways, I think is part of the reason why we're a little more accepting and understanding of other kooky people. Mm-hmm. So knowing that I would find my tribe, I think, knowing that I'm not going to be treading water by myself forever.
Mm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point. And something I was going to mention is that the pagan path can feel very lonely at first. Because you feel, oh, I'm all by myself. No one else would ever think of doing it. And you realize, oh, wait, no, I'm far from alone.
Same with my great story of the big U.S. aircraft carrier that was in the harbor in the last century.
At the turn of the century.
Yes. As all, you know, these American servicemen would come in, two or three of them, looking around, little mysteries going, oh, my God. This is great. Look at all this stuff. You know, we're the only ones on the ship. We have no one else to talk to. And it's like a ship of 6,000 people. They would leave. 20 minutes later, two or three more fellas would come in. Oh my God, this is great. This is amazing. It's like, you really have to put up a notice on a bulletin board somewhere.
Did you tell them that? I did. Because you guys are coming in here. There's been 20 of you in here.
Yeah. So there's far more of you on that ship than you realize. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you have a similar story with the festivals where people come from New Brunswick.
The monkey crowd. All these people, nine people from Moncton. I'm the only one. No, you're not. There's nine of you. Yeah. That was the best. Very first festival. That was the best story.
Yeah. So looking back, I'd probably tell my earlier self, it's okay to label things. It's perfectly okay. And don't listen to the people who say, you can't label me. Because then you spend a lot of time wasting your time reading books that are not under your label. And then you're like, oh, this is not what I'm looking for. And then you finally eventually find your spot in the bookshelf at Little Mysteries. And you're like, this is the books I want to read. And I'm going to read these books because they speak to me. And not look at the books across the room because they do not speak to me. That was a big thing in that the piece of advice of don't label yourself, just branch out. I wouldn't say it was damaging. Man, it was a pain in the arse for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Means you just took the long road there.
Yeah, pretty much. And the road to where I wanted to go was very clear for a very long time. And I just kept avoiding it because I wanted to see what other stuff was. And now as an older pagan, I'm like, I don't care about any of that stuff. I only care about this thing. Now, that of course doesn't apply to everyone. Lots of people are very eclectic in like a wide variety of things, but it's okay to only like one thing too.
Mm-hmm. And also to not get so riled up over labels or over words.
So you said, Gwen, you had quit a lot.
Well, it's a big thing. I don't come off so well, so I gotta really be careful how I share this. I came into paganism. I found this book. Maeve and I found the same book several years apart and a half a country apart, but we found the same book.
Sybil Lee, Complete Art of Witchcraft.
Complete Art of Witchcraft. And it was broken up chapter by chapter of Tenets of Faith. And I remember reading through it and going, this is me, this is me,
this is me.
And I had been attending a church, a very, very liberal, open, non-creedal church, social outreach and all that sort of thing. But it was the closest thing. You know, you often hear pagans say, well, I couldn't go to church, I couldn't do this. I was hungering for a spiritual religious context, and it was the closest thing that I could find. I found that I stopped going to church right away. When I moved here to Halifax, I went to the Universalist Unitarian, which is this interfaith, wonderful, welcoming place. But it was the religion that drew me. And shortly after that, we moved to a very rural place and we were homesteading and we lived there for several years in various contexts before we moved to Nova Scotia. All along that time, the very few people that I met, and there's no internet, we're talking first off, we were homesteading, but we didn't get internet really until we arrived here and joined the 21st century. But I was like, I'm here for the religion, the relationship to deity and divinity. I'm not interested in magic. You know, I realize how pretentious and condescending that sounds. And I could tell myself, if I could go back and tell that person, magic is an expression of our divine state, our spiritual path. It is a partnership with deity and the plants and animals and the environment we're in. I had a very, maybe a sort of top down, not even grimoiric, but maybe an idea of, you know, the early magical societies at the turn of the previous century.
Oh, like you Crowley know, yeah, and things like
maybe
that, yeah.
That where it was about control and power over. If I had known then that I would develop a magical practice that was hopefully honoring my place and the place of the other beings in this that we share the planet with, and I wouldn't feel like I'm playing catch up for so long. You know, like sometimes you think, oh man, why did I, if I had been working all along in that magical way with the world that I exist in, how much stronger would my connection with divinity, deity be? That's what I would tell myself, but this is what it is. And so, you know, like the last 15 years or so, I have been, but I focused on ritual and offerings and, you know, relationship with deity over developing a magical practice. And I probably should have started that at the same time. It's been very helpful and healing and strengthened my connections, I think, with deity and with my place in the world.
I think it would depend on how far back, because I was thinking when you said, what would we tell our younger selves? I'm not completely sure what I'd tell my younger self, because even some of the things that made me go, I look back and go, oh God, but it taught me some very important lessons that I wouldn't want to be without.
Right.
Very important lessons I wouldn't want to be without. I know I was always a seeker, even as a little kid, I was seeking a spiritual connection. And yes, I grew up in a, you know, semi-Christian house. We weren't serious, but it was a Christian. I guess we would have put Christian on our census and whatnot. I might have told my really young self, like single digit self, to keep putting your ear down on the earth, on the ground, and listening to what's going on, even through your teen years, maybe. But then you get in those hedonist years. I went through some really big heat, 18 to, you know.
And they're important.
The hedonist years were important, but I tried synagogues and different churches and whatever when I finally moved into Metro when I was 18, because I was seeking, because I do remember, of course, at, you know, 8 years old, you weren't allowed to have a candle in your room. I remember taking a toilet paper roll, a white toilet paper roll, and drawing a picture of a candle on the toilet paper roll and sitting it next to my bed or wherever so that I could have a candle to pray at. Oh. When I was little, I remember doing that. And I suppose that's what I saw in church. You know, you had the candle. What would I tell myself? Probably, when you find it, believe it. Mm. Because complete art of witchcraft, I'm like 21 years old and going, no. as I'm reading it. This is me. This is me. This can't be. Witches worship the devil. And on and on. And for a long time, I just thought I might have been out of my mind because everyone looked at me and went, what are you talking about? And I was never one to be talked out of something, you know, like I didn't care if people thought it was weird. But I would say believe it.
Mm.
Believe it. And, you know, and it took a while to find others, you know, and to get more into it. And there was no books really to be had or anything back then.
No internet.
I had one book, you know, that what a complete art of which I found accidentally at the St. Mary's Library. And I bought myself like one book. And I think it would have been just to believe it. Don't doubt it. I mean, there'd be a few little things, but on the whole, no. There would be advice that I would give, but wouldn't really have much to do with paganism. I got lots of advice that way.
Well,
but
yeah, well, that's the other thing. Like, we're not talking about like, yeah, buy stocks in Microsoft.
Yeah,
like,
really. No. Yeah,
for
yeah.
me, again, part of it would be you have survived everything to this point. You will continue to survive everything in the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, my advice to my pagan self would be believe it when you see it. And just look into it more on your own. Because I will admit it, not that I can't, you know, ad lib or don't feel it all around me, but I've always been a researcher. I always like to read and I like to research things. I would have told myself a little bit, yeah, just go with the flow a bit more in the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. Because I sort of was on my own and I knew very little about what to do, but I was trying to do it.
Right.
But it would have been, you know, just believe it and keep going and everything. A little bit, you'll find your people.
Uh-huh.
You'll find your people. And I don't know, maybe my people aren't happy I found them.
I don't think anyone exactly is complaining.
Oh, there are. There are one or two people who complain.
Yeah, they don't matter.
Yeah, they don't matter. Just believe it when you find it. I think that would be it.
That'd be a piece of advice. As soon as you find it at a festival, go.
Yes.
Don't hesitate.
Don't just go. Don't worry if you don't know anybody there.
Yeah. You will by the end.
Yes.
You'll be making lifelong friends by the end of it all.
And I think that is actually probably the number one piece of advice. Because we learned about APEG the year before we went. And we held off going because we didn't know anyone. Mm. And I regret that. It just means 1 year I didn't get to go.
Yeah.
Even if you showed up by yourself, there's lots of people be there.
People showed up with tarps and blocks of cheese, and they worked out it. They made out jars of peanut butter.
They are still walking amongst us today.
Yeah. It's good. You'll have a great time.
Yeah.
It's good. I can't wait. It's going to be at least two festivals. I'll probably get to a rainbow too. I got like three festivals already planned for summer. Gotta be
here. You're going to come to our festival, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'm doing your opening ritual. Yes, I'm there.
And well, I was going to ask, like, and I'll ask you on recording, is that way you feel pressured to do it? You want to do the closing too?
No.
No, but you said you wanted to do, like, the opening and closing, that way you could connect them.
No. You're misunderstanding that conversation.
See, she just said no on the radio.
No, I have learned over the years. Now, that's not true. I've done several women's rituals. on the Friday night.
We've done
night.
A closing, which, you mean, Marco.
Yes, and I've done them all. Main rituals, opening rituals, closing rituals, and I've done
not
more
all
than
at
I
the same ritual.
No.
The same
no. Festival. Over the years.
Yeah. Over yes. the years. Yeah. I have done more than one ritual at a festival before, yeah. but anyway, I have learned that I really like to do the opening, and then I can relax for the rest of the weekend.
Well, that's yeah. fair. And you mentioned that before.
Yeah, and I might do a women's. I have a fantastic ritual idea. Actually, I've had the idea already.
For a women's ritual?
No, for the opening. I thought
oh, okay. so you're going to do that for down. Us, right?
Ben and I had a conversation last week and came up with a great idea for a women's ritual. Probably not this year.
Well, I was going to say. Like,
yeah,
you're,
probably
you're,
not this year. It's going to take a little bit more.
But it will have to be yep. taking place at exactly the right light of dusk. It can't be too dark, but the sun has to be setting a little.
That's okay. We can do that. We can.
That's when my ritual.
We have the power, being that we're the only ones really doing anything.
Yeah. You want me to do closing ritual too?
No. Well, I thought like if you could connect the two, like you do half the opening ritual and then the other half is the closing ritual.
Oh, now there's an idea.
Well, that's how.
Well, oh, now I'm having another idea is going through my head.
I convinced her.
I have another idea because it could be what you came in with. And how your mind has opened up this weekend.
There you go.
And what you see now.
You're seeing it.
Oh, I got the idea now.
This is my magic.
But you see, I don't even have a rubber arm. I have an overcooked spaghetti. When it comes to pulling a ritual together or
so
anything.
So that's another cool. thing is not only go to the first ritual you hear, the first festival. Do ritual. I don't like ritual. It is not for me. But I wish I had started earlier and got better at it because I, I'm going to say this. I kind of like it now a little bit.
I love it.
I like creating it, but I don't necessarily like doing it. If I can write it and create it and have
and
other
be the
people
director?
Do it. Yes, that's what I would like.
Oh,
to
no.
Do. But there's
I love
so
it.
Many, so many people you speak to, like at meet and greets. It's like, oh, I didn't want to go because I didn't know anyone and I didn't feel I knew how the ritual ran. Just go.
You'll
just
learn.
Go and watch and learn. And every ritual
and
is different.
I mean, the great thing about ritual as well is you can go and observe and participate, and you don't necessarily have to be that involved. Like,
no,
you
can
know,
just watch.
Nobody is going to demand that you do something that you're uncomfortable doing.
And understand that everything you do is a form of ritual. For me, like shaving in the morning to me is a ritual. The sambal is a ritual.
Oh, it is.
Oh,
absolutely.
It is. Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't get that.
Yeah.
Ritual for everybody is different. Mm-hmm. And every ritual is going to be different. You will never experience the same ritual twice. And unlike a more organized, when I say more organized religion, a more organized religion where every Sunday you go, it's the same. It's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is different. Depends on who's doing it. And everybody can do it.
And then again, back to ritual. Don't be afraid to do them on your own.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to start, don't be afraid. Oh, I'd like to do a public ritual, but I'm not quite sure. Or I have an idea for a public ritual. My advice is, well, if you have a great idea, try to talk to someone in your community.
Yeah.
Because if somebody said, I have an idea, but I'm not sure, I will happily help you.
Yeah.
I won't do it for you if you don't, if you want me to participate, okay.
Yeah.
But I will help you with the logistics.
Not every ritual, like a public ritual doesn't have to be put up posters and invite 4,000 of your closest friends. It can be just invite a few friends over, do your thing, and you're good.
That's right.
So many people are afraid, even as a solitary, I used to hear quite frequently, I'm afraid I might call the quarters in the wrong order. And my response to that was always, it's okay. The goddess, she understands. She knows what the intent in your heart and your soul is.
And that's the important part. And a lot of people don't understand that. It's not about perfection.
And getting caught up in the cerebralness.
For the longest time, the Grove uses Gaelic in our ritual. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, we could never pronounce the word correctly. Like, Cam Hasivi. We pronounced that wrong for so long. And I'm sure I just pronounced it incorrectly now. Mm. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the intent and the meaning behind what we're trying to say is what matters. Mm-hmm.
Then the interesting thing, too, is that you may have something in mind for your ritual and the intent, but sometimes the energy and what's going on turns it into something else. And I've never been upset at that. Because obviously, it's turning it into what it should be.
What it needed to be.
Or I wasn't taking into account where the moon was. You know, is it in Aquarius? Is it in Cancer? Is it this? Or what the people there were going to feel. But they all turned out, you know, that'll still turn out really great. Because it'll really be meaningful to people. And by the same token, if you don't want to do one, don't feel guilty. You don't either, you know. That's right.
It is okay just to show up and experience.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely okay. But no, thanks, Brian. Put me on the spot on the air.
We'll see if my magic works in a few months.
Oh, no. Now I got the rituals flowing through my head right now. And it's not even between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning. That's when I get my best ideas for a ritual, between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning. They come to me. It's the craziest thing. It's been like that. I get my best ideas.
One thing you don't have to mention too much, workshops. Go to workshops.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Not,
absolutely.
Do it. Just do it. You don't have to do anything. Literally sit there and listen.
Well, that's one of the things about festivals is it's a place to learn. It's a workshop weekend. It's like going to school for the weekend, you know, to do all kinds of learning. And even if I did this twice, I can think of. There was a topic I didn't know a bucket about, but I wanted to start a discussion so that I could hear other people who knew more about it talking.
Right.
So that was the workshop, a discussion on, you know, an exchange, because I didn't, there was things I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I'm pushy though.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm pushy and I'm enough of an exhibitionist that I love being in the middle of a circle having fun, you know, and doing that. That's just, and I mean, I don't mean that in a mean way. I just enjoy it. Like, you know, oh, I'm better and I'm wonderful. Well, I am wonderful. But, you know, that the exhibition part of like, let's get everybody to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And experience something new.
I think something people have learned from like our meet and greets here in Nova Scotia is when you arrive, you automatically just become accepted into the group. No questions asked.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you from that point on and you're now part of the community.
Uh-huh.
So say hi to people. Say hello. Don't be shy. Go to workshops. Go to rituals. Hold a ritual. Go to events. Go to festivals. Just do it. We need that gif of what's his name going, just do it.
Isn't that heard of the Nike swipe?
Yeah, the Nike swipe. But it's the better. What's his name?
I don't know.
He's not important anymore.
It
used
sounded
to be.
Like Mr. T when you did that. No, but I don't think that's what you
he
meant.
Was like the first Transformer movie. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, and he goes like, he has this song where it's just do it, and he's like flexing.
You know,
and you're not watching, but I'm trying to do the motion.
Did you know what? When you say just do it, and we talk about the Nike stripe, what we need is a image of Nike with just do it.
Yes.
An image of the goddess Nike.
The actual
goddess of victory. Yeah, just do it. Not the Nike stripe, the actual, you know, deity that Nike is named after.
That's fair.
Just do it.
Just do it.
T-shirt fundraiser idea.
Oh, yeah, with the goddess and the Nike. Yes, Nike won't have an issue with that whatsoever.
Not at all.
No, we have a picture of Nike and just do it. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been a great conversation. Just do it, everybody. It's going to be good. You can do it. And thank you very much to our editor. Yay, Krista.
Yay, Krista.
Yay, Krista. And to our Patreons, we're very, very grateful.
Three Witches and a Druid Podcast would like to take a moment to shout out to our amazing Patreon supporters from all around the world. Without your generous contributions, we could not bring you this magical content, and we thank you once again for listening.
And if you have any comments or suggestions for us, you can certainly get a hold of us at our Facebook page, and we're always looking for new suggestions and things that, you know, to talk about. That's always wonderful. And until next time, everybody, merry meet,
merry part,
and merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.